This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Delaney broadcasting from the beach in Florida. That fabulous noise that you can hear behind me, I'm in an old-timey hotel right off the beach. It's very, very cool. But listen to the noise in the background. I know you can hear it. It's the air conditioner working overtime. And speaking of working overtime, as far as the air conditioning is concerned, in Phoenix, and I mentioned this in the first hour, they reached 115 degrees, breaking the previous daily record. And I mentioned this as well, and I got actually an email from Joey, who was there, who said, listen, what they're doing is they hand out this bright red cloth visor thing, and they have fans, and they have cooling neckerchiefs, and they're handing them out to commuters and other people and telling them stay inside. Speaking of staying inside, just a couple of other quick hits. A heat advisory in effect in West Texas, Southeast New Mexico for how hot it's been. And in Southern California, they're telling the people to turn out the lights. Boom, boom. Out went the lights. So turn out the lights. We need you to not knock out the power grid. Yep, it's just that bad. It's summer, but it's extremely hot. So I feel very fortunate, actually, to be a stone's throw away from the ocean, because I know it'll be very, very cooling by the time I get there during the day. A couple of quick things about what's now happened as far as the conversation across the globe on this Verizon deal. Verizon deciding, you know what, we're just going to get away from this whole content tug of war. You know, they're saying if they can bow out of the battle for content like that, which is distributed across the networks, instead they're betting on the 5G network as their path to success. So let's leave the movies out. Let's leave the TV shows out. Let everybody else fight for it. We're just going to work on speed. And everybody wants the need for speed because we're on our devices all the time. That's how we work. And that's how I'm bringing you some of what I'm able to bring you from various locations around the country. So the largest wireless provider is Verizon. They did update their 5G plan on Tuesday, announcing that Houston was one of the cities, was the third of four cities where they're going to launch this 5G residential broadband service later this year, because they, pretty much they're like guinea pigs. So they got their fingers crossed. They've tried to work out all the bumps, and they are going to set up Houston along with several other cities as these test markets to roll it out. And if it works successfully, it'll be incredibly, incredibly fast. And it's curious with Verizon, because they're in talks with Apple, maybe Google, to provide video content for the 5G service. So Google's YouTube TV or Apple TV could be chosen as a provider. I think something will happen there. It's pretty interesting, and especially since, if you think back to the guy that they hired years ago, I want to say 7 years ago, to take over at the helm, they're now having a big switch with a new chief technology officer, and it's Hans Vestberg, who becomes the CEO. I've read a couple of things about him through various business mags I get and whatnot, and he's all over this whole 5G thing. So revenue's down, trying to adjust that. Shareholders, what are they going to do with these wireless customers? And the whole idea for them is, let's do the speed thing. So stay tuned as we see what goes on in that tug of war over providers, because Comcast and AT&T are duking it out in different directions. They want to be the content providers. So if they do the speed thing, they do the content. I don't know, you tell me. It gets pretty, I think, pretty interesting. And at the end of this show, we have a conversation with Deborah Deborah Collier, you remember her from Citizens Against Government Waste, talking about just a year ago what was going on with the internet and all of this push-pull over content delivery and what does it actually mean to all of us, because, you know, that's what we care about. This is kind of an odd thing for me to throw in here at the top, but because the other is into Hot Cheetos, and you know what Hot Cheetos are, like hot fries, you're walking down the really bad for you food aisle. And I was reading a story today, in fact it's the second story I read tonight, about this kid, a teenager who apparently liked to eat these snacks like Hot Cheetos, started to have these brutal stomach pains. I mean, who's eating maybe a bag a day? The stomach pains from these hot fries, Hot Cheetos, led to a surgery to remove a gallbladder. Wow. So you're a kid, you're a teen, you're snacking on this stuff. It's ultra spicy, that kind of stuff, even banned by schools. I have to say, I've tasted it. I love it. My nephew loves hot fries. And when he came to visit, we definitely had a few of those hot fries. And he probably ate a couple of bags when he was with us. So apparently whatever was in the food was damaging to her, obviously, to her health, and that's what her family is saying, that she felt sick to her stomach, and then she had this gallbladder procedure, and doctors don't necessarily associate gallbladder problems with certain foods, but high-fat snacks could develop gallstones, they say, and likely some of that is what could have gone on there, and it depends on how much of this stuff they're consuming. They say in some of these hospitals that they see about 100 kids a month with a similar problem. I would say that there's something going on there. You know, if you're seeing 100 kids and they're eating these hot, spicy foods and this is leading to something dramatic like gallbladder removal, that's nothing I was thinking about when I was 16 and 17. But as much as we had junk food, I don't remember hot, you know, fries. I don't think we had hot fries. The hottest thing I remember is Doritos came on the market, and Doritos had sort of like a taco flavor, but it certainly did not feel like it was burning you inside. Did you survive National Tequila Day? I was out speaking today to a group of fabulous people in Lee County at their Convention and Visitors Bureau. Well, I wasn't at their Convention and Visitors Bureau. They actually brought me in, and several of their vendors, etc., members were there, and other people in the community. It was really interesting because somebody came up to me and said, "Did you know it was National Tequila Day?" And in fact, I did not know that, but it has come and gone. Every day there is a reason to celebrate something, and this time around it happened to be tequila. Can you imagine that mix? I don't know why I thought about that, but I was thinking of the hot fries and the tequila would just be the worst, absolutely the worst. And then finally, on the money front, we've talked about this a lot on America Tonight. We've had a lot of people eyeballing the tariffs, and the tariffs are starting to pinch a lot of American companies, like Harley-Davidson is saying their tariff loss is at $150 million because their sales are slumping. And this is that war, the European Union tariff deal, and it's cost about $50 million this year while they're calculating the damages from the tariffs. That seems like a lot to me. But Harley-Davidson was in the news saying they knew they were going to eat it. They weren't happy about it. And it's only going to get worse because I don't see this tariff situation being lifted. Stay with us. Much more coming your way as we jump the fence together.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Who has the only raw living whole plant hemp CBD extract in the world? MetaHemp Solutions, a radically innovative approach to hemp CBDs for exceptional results. Why? Because they contain absolutely all the elements present in the original plant. All our hemp CBD products are independently lab tested for potency and purity and manufactured in our FDA registered facility. Try it today. 10% off with coupon code GCN10. Call 833-858-7500. That's 833-858-7500. Or buy MetaHemp Solutions today at metahempsolutions.com. That's metahempsolutions.com.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles, no third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. newcar99.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
He's in our virtual green room right now. He's one of the authors of this book that's awesome called Not Exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. In fact, if you're lucky, we have a handful of copies, and you may win a copy of it. I'll tell you about that coming up later on the show. But Not Exactly Rocket Scientists, I love that anyway. How many times have we heard that expression? I think I heard this expression when I was in school, I don't know, maybe 150 times. And then the other stories. So let's dive into those stories. And again, we have Bud Schill with us. Bud, thanks for popping on.
My pleasure.
So it's about misadventures, is the perfect way to say it, from really small town, mid-20th century America. It's three buddies celebrating friendship and what it's like when you're young youth, how you feel, and the laughter, the fun, the craziness, growing up at that time. And it was an interesting time, wasn't it? What was it like pulling this together?
Well, we've known each other forever. We're old men now, but we've always been friends since we were little kids. And we started thinking about doing this book when our wives got tired of listening to our stories. And they had heard them forever, and they said, you couldn't possibly have been that stupid. And we said, well, we were. And then they said, well, wait a minute, you really were that stupid. But we're tired of hearing about the stories, so we suggest you write them down. And we did. It took us about a year and a half. We shared drafts of them. We cut each other's stories up. And it's a collaboration among the three of us. It was the most fun I think any of us have ever had.
And, you know, it's interesting because we always think of it as a simpler time. We certainly lived differently. We didn't have the speed of technology we have now. It seems to me like you had more time to get into some of those misadventures than kids do these days. Do you think that that tells the listener what it was like in the 50s and 60s?
Sure. I mean, back then it was a time of innocence. We kind of lived in a bubble. hours, and it was a time of peace and a time of trust. And they would send us out the door in the morning, and maybe we'd be back by dinner, and they wouldn't have the corner of a clue where we were all day. So we had a lot of time to get into mischief. Almost everything we did turned to chaos, but we had so much fun, and we fortunately were able to remember many of those stories.
One of the things that you're famous for, and you, please tell me this is not a true story, did you really water ski up the back of an alligator?
I did indeed. It was my father's fault, though. He was driving the boat.
Wow, also, what happened?
I've also wrestled an alligator. Well, he was driving me in a canal in Fort Lauderdale, and he kind of lost track of where we were, and I didn't see the alligator, and I went right up its back like it was a ski jump, and it went into the air, and then he panicked, turned the wheel, and sent me into a beach which wasn't made of sand. It was made of coral, so I had a piece of coral go right through my hand. It was a lovely day.
I like that. It was a lovely day. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because you were known for antics. So there were other things that you did, too, as well. You tell me about your adventures on a riding a bike indoors while you were doing a few other things.
Well, that was later in college. I had learned to play the harmonica somewhat, but there was only one song you could play without actually touching the harmonica with your hands, and that's Good Night, Ladies. And I learned how to ride a bicycle, you know, inside of a fraternity house, balancing a slide rule on my nose and playing Good Night, Ladies on the harmonica.
I bet you were a hit. Were you a hit?
No, I was just an annoyance.
I like that. I was just an annoyance. And see, on the serious side, I mean, you know, obviously you grew up and you were a trial lawyer and law professor, and you live in Virginia, and you went to the University of Virginia. So, you know, you like to say, or in one of your bios it says that you grew up to be fully functioning adults, although probably not with your wives, and you mentioned that they got tired of your stories. So I think one thing it illustrates, not exactly rocket scientists is the book and other stories, is that you can have fun in life and still have a career and still be successful and enjoy life in another way, too, because you had, I bet you took what happened in your childhood, all three of you, as you carried your friendships out and continued to laugh and love each other, right?
Sure, and it's healthy to keep a good sense of humor. You know, awful things happen to all of us, and we go through sad times, but we can make it better if we remember the fun stuff. And real things are often funnier than stuff you make up, which is why most of this book is accurate. We fact-checked it with our friends, and we tried to keep it as truthful as we could, even though it's pretty zany.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, these guys, your friends, were just the right fit for you, John and Robert. You just all came together at the right time and had the right mix to be these lifelong friends?
Yes, so much so that when we talk, we finish each other's sentences, but they're two of the best friends I've ever had in my life. But if you read the book, you'll see that there were a bunch of other people who are important to the book, people like a guy named Duke Ellington and Suds Estes and Bay Bassinger and others who are also just wonderful, wonderful people, and we tried to salute them in the book.
I like that you say you tried to salute them. Talk about Duke Ellington. That's a good story.
Well, the Duke, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago, was hilarious, and he had, among other skills, he could turn his eyelids inside out. So one time he pulled a prank on a teacher in our chef's club, which was cooking for boys, and he pretended to be hit in the face with a door. He fell down to the floor. He turned his eyelids inside out on the way down and lay there as though he were dead. She fainted, and we had to put a quart of water on her head to revive her.
Wow. And that is a talent, you know, to be able to do that. The friendships continue, obviously. You live in different parts of the country. Do you have a couple of times a year where you get together?
Yes, at least that many times. One lives in South Carolina, one lives in Pennsylvania, and I live in Virginia. We try to get together as often as we can, and our wives are wonderful friends, and it's been an important part of our lives.
So they, and as you said, just like anyone else, you've been there for, when you have this kind of close friendships, you've been there for each other through the thick and thin in life. And could you ever have had imagined when you were young boys that your lives would go in the directions they went?
No, not really. I mean, I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. I don't know what the other guys wanted to do, but we always hoped, you know, when we were kids that we would be able to stick together. Friends need to stick together with friends, you know, no matter where you are. And we did, and the other people in the book are still our close friends. And it's just been a great, great life.
Tell us some, and the title of the book, again, is not exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. What's your favorite story in the book?
Well, that's hard to say. I think one of my favorite stories in the book is one I didn't write. It was written by Mac. It's called The Commissioner. And it's about a kid we played wiffle ball with who was 3 or 4 years younger than we were and 10 years smarter than we were. And his mother wouldn't let him play with us unless we made him the commissioner of our wiffle ball league, which we did. And he was in charge, and he made all the rules. And the story ends, sadly, he was a genius. He went on to some degree of fame. But I think that's probably my favorite story.
Oh, I love that. The commissioner of wiffle ball. Well, that was a good thing to do. That was a good thing for her to step in there and say that. And I think of wiffle ball. How many hours did you play wiffle ball when you were a young boy?
34,000.
I knew it. I knew I could get you to name a number, especially as a lawyer. I love that, 34,000. And you probably have 34,000 more stories that you could share as well. How fun was it to do the book with your buddies?
Well, it was more fun than we could stand. I mean, we were good friends to start, and we're even better friends now. We never argued. You know, we took shots at each other's stories in order to make them better and make them funnier, to make them more sensitive. And they're not all funny. Some of them are sensitive. But we become even better friends and are better for it.
I love it. It's really the story of Rob, Mac, and Bud, and it's not exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. Pick it up if you want a good laugh, you want to feel good, and as Bud says, it takes you through the real journey of life, too, as well. So it's got some really hilarious stories in it and some really touching ones as well. Bud, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. CNN has obtained a recording seized by the FBI of President Trump talking with former lawyer Michael Cohen about a payment to a Playboy model who claims she had an affair with the billionaire.
When it comes time for the financing, which will be...
Listen, what financing?
We'll have to pay you.
So I'll pay again.
No.
Cohen's attorney, Lanny Davis, says the tape shows his client did not suggest using cash.
There's no way that Mr. Giuliani, who knows from being U.S. attorney, the only people who use cash are drug dealers and mobsters. Cash is not what you do. And it was Michael Cohen who said no, and Donald Trump, despite what Rudy Giuliani said publicly, the tape contradicts Mr. Giuliani, and the word cash is heard by everyone.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home.
Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Joins us again, who's an author, and he's written a book. He alluded to it at the tail end of our last interview, Battersea Island. When I think of Battersea Island, I just am conjuring up all kinds of images in my head, and I have a feeling that's what he wanted us to do. So, Robert, thanks for joining us again on the show. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Kate, and hopefully I can have as much fun this segment as I did with the last one.
So let's talk about the island. How did you come up with this, and what is the basic premise of Battersea Island?
I was led to Battersea Island through a friend. I have a friend. He's down here in the Tampa region of Florida, and he's a South Carolina guy. He's from the farms right outside of Charleston as a young boy. And he, one night in a pub by the Gulf of Mexico there where we would sit and suck beers, explained to me the culture of the Gullah Geechee. And this is, how do I say, there are islands that surround South Carolina, Georgia, the northern tip of Florida, the southern tip of North Carolina, and they're inhabited with the Gullah Geechee. These are the people who were enslaved out of Western Africa and brought to these islands, this region, during slavery for the sole purpose to grow rice. The conditions of these islands, the climate is identical to Western Africa, Western Angola, Sierra Leone, the Ivory Coast of Africa, so that they could tolerate the mosquito infestation and the heat and all of that. And they knew how to grow rice, which the slave owners did not. And when I had come across visiting these islands, and they're very historic, and the culture, the music, the food, it is incredible. The history, one island in particular is where Dr. King formulated his nonviolence policy, only because it was the only place in America where J. Edgar Hoover couldn't track them. These islands were not accessible by car. They were basically only accessible by boat. Today, some of the islands are connected to the mainland by a bridge. But Battersea is off the southeast coast of Savannah. And its landmass is probably the same as Manhattan, only it's circular as opposed to Manhattan being very long, lengthy. And I went there for 2 weeks. There was a guest house that I could stay in. And you do have to get permission to get to that, get on that island. And it was just a different world, Kate. A very, in the book, it really describes it well. There's nothing on this island except 80 families that have been there that are descendants of the original slaves. Some are direct children, some are grandchildren. And on that island is nothing. There's no Walmart. There's no post office. There's no schools. There's no fire department. There's no police department. There's no traffic lights. There's maybe a mile and a half of a paved tar road coming out of the ferry dock. It's all woods. The north end of the island, you have a university's marine biology students that study there. And on the south end is an old, I believe it was the old R.J. Reynolds plantation on the actual island I stayed on. And it's just a different way of life.
Wow. So with the characters, and in this book you talk about that, right? About what do they do? How do they live? I mean, you've just described it. It's so remote. And I guess they must love the island and they must love each other. They must have a sense of connection. Is that true?
That's very true. The religion is strong. The family ties are strong. Again, there's only 80 families, and they're not ever leaving that island, although, as you read in the book, the county and the state wants them off this island for the sole purpose of developing that area, that island, into a monster Hilton Head resort golf thing. And so the county imposes an incredibly huge tax assessment on their properties. But, of course, these people, they're not leaving, and they abide the law, and they go to court to fight it. You know, they have a lawyer, they have some help. Enters our main character, Matthias, a 21-year-old college student, takes a leave from school to descend upon this island to get involved in their effort, plight, if you will. And what Matthias brings to the table is, here we go again, Kate, every character will always have a touch of paranormal ability. Matthias is an empath. Think of a high level of intuition. He has a sense of things to come. He can read people almost upon first contact and know what their motives are, what their agenda is. Are they true to their hearts? He has that gift that he's discovering and begins to develop when he's on this island. It's an inherited trait that he got from his mother. And so it kind of makes it interesting. He befriends the lead advocate of Battersea Island, Harper Shea. And together with a paralegal and a lawyer, the story is about their struggle to overcome the county's war to push them off the island.
Wow. And so they're fighting. I mean, they're fighting for their livelihood. They're fighting for their way of life in a much different world. And it's interesting because you talk about Matthias being an empath and the fact that you mix in this to your books. And, you know, it's fascinating. And I would think you would have had to do a lot of research. Did you have to do a lot of research on that?
No. It's something I don't really talk about, Kate. But being half Hispanic, my mother's family being from Puerto Rico, the older ones on that island would always describe me. I don't speak Spanish, Kate. I kind of know phrases, but I don't speak Spanish. But then loosely translated in English is that the boy, God has blessed the boy with a sense of the devil. It's a very awkward phrase.
Mm-hmm.
They get into the black spirits, if you will, the black magic of the islands. Again, these are older people. And I never get into that, but I always seem to, and I've had people, bosses, superiors, they would always admire that I could figure out, I could almost sense certain things. Like, how did you know that was going to happen? How did you understand that what that individual said was not what he meant at all? And I can't explain it. And I just say, I don't know. It's like a gut feeling thing. So that's where it comes from.
Ah, so it's great because then you put, that's a little of your own life experience that you're, again, incorporating into some characters,
well,
little bits and pieces.
I kind of take the little thing that I have, and then I expand it through a fictional character. I'm not quite Matthias. But, again, it's a touch of this. It's not a, you know, it's not that kind of book. There is
right.
a story to the book, but having a character have some kind of unusual ability kind of entices the plot or the meal, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll tell everyone again, I'm speaking with Robert Nieder. He is our guest, and he's written this great book, Battersea Island. We're talking about it. And when you're finished with a book, when it's done, when you've looked at it, you put it together, you proofread it, everything else, what's that feeling like?
Well, the first thing I do is I get a cigarette. That was a bad allusion to an old thing. To be honest with you, when I did my first book, Kate, it was exhilaration. I actually broke down and cried. It was so emotional mm-hmm. for me. And I've heard other people talk about it as I've met other writers. But I was just drained because it'll take me 9 to 11 months to complete the initial draft. And I'll never forget that. I just came home, looked at my wife, and I said, I'm done. And I just started. I broke down in tears. You know, it was like an emotional loss. You know, like, now what do I do? I'm done. But it's,
right.
I enjoy it. It's also an exhilarating feeling.
And you knew, and we talked about this before, you knew this was something you wanted to do. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that you knew you wanted to do it. I asked you that question and you said you would do it. And then voila, you did it. So of course it's emotional. And your friends, their reaction, they must be so proud of you.
I've got a handful of people that will always read what I write because I need feedback, Kate. What's unusual, when I write a story, I have no clue if it's any good. It's almost like the cook making too much food for maybe a party of 30 or 40, and it gets to a point where, hey, you need to taste this because I've lost my taste with all this different foods here. So I really don't know if the books are any good. And Battersea Island is actually my second book, and the feedback I was getting was very strong, and I sat down and I said, well, I guess it's not bad. And my wife, of course, Carmen, is always the first to read these things because she'll help me proofread, and she loves it. But, you know, after writing 3 books, Kate, I've come to learn if I wrote about the kitchen sink, she would love it. So she's a little biased. I've come to learn that she is very biased.
I love that. It's a perfect place to end this. Robert Nieder, the book is called Battersea Island. Pick it up wherever books are sold, Amazon, etc. Robert, thanks so much.
Kate, thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the time.
You're It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you owe any money to the IRS, you need to call **1234. That's **1234. Uncle Sam has the power to make your life miserable. You could stop the IRS collections process right now by calling **1234. When you call the Tax Defense Center, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate your back taxes, including penalties and interest. **1234. **1234 could save you thousands on your back taxes. You could also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have entered into a payment plan and can't make the payments. It's your hard-earned money. Stop Uncle Sam right now. Make the call that could help you end the worry today. **1234. That's **1234. **1234. **1234.
Here for this edition of America Tonight. It's crazy what's happening in the FCC chairman's neighborhood. In fact, some of these violent protest groups who have organized and they're targeting him, going after him. And, of course, this is all over what we're talking about, this whole fight over, I'll just sum it up, calling it the Internet. And supposedly it was supposed to start off as peaceful vigils, but now it has gone completely in a different direction. So who better to join us than Deborah Collier, who serves as the Director of Technology and Telecommunications Policy for Citizens Against Government Waste. So, Deborah, thanks so much for coming on the show and kind of flush this out for us. What's happened here?
Well, what's happening is today the FCC is voting to overturn what happened in 2015 with the Internet, where the previous chairman had imposed Title II regulations, which is really restrictive government hammered down regulations on the Internet.
Yeah.
And it's restricted investment. It's made it harder for small Internet service providers to expand. It's just really become a cumbersome burden on the ability to bridge the digital divide. And these protesters were the same people, basically, that back in November of 2014 were outside blocking the driveway to Chairman Tom Wheeler's house, too. The goal is to get a government-run Internet, which is the antithesis of free and open internet in order to have more control over what happens online. But the protesters are claiming that it's to free up the internet. How that happens, I don't know. The real solution here is for Congress to step in, lay out clear set rules on how the internet should be governed. And that's just not happened yet. So
yeah, it's interesting, too. Let me jump in here, because you know, you see everything that comes across your desk, and you're in the middle of watching what's going on here. And it is a beast in trying to figure out the regulation of the internet. But what happens if there's just absolutely nothing? I mean, we just keep on ticking, so to speak.
Well, the internet prior to 2015 was regulated.
Yeah.
The Federal Trade Commission had enforcement responsibility over consumer privacy, any consumer harms that might be done. That was under the Federal Trade Commission's purview. Whereas once it became reclassified as Title II,
yeah,
the FCC became in charge. The FCC had minor responsibility of privacy for common carriers like the landline copper wired telephones from the 1930s. But really on the internet, they didn't have the experience or expertise to manage online communications privacy. So rolling back Title II will return that responsibility back to the Federal Trade Commission, which is really important, I think, to most people in America. They want to make sure their online communications are secure and kept private. That falls back to the Federal Trade Commission. But with, as the law currently is, with the regulations that are in place from 2015, right now the inexperienced cop on the beat, basically, is in charge of consumer privacy.
And of course, there's a lot of problems with that, as we know. And you said it. The one thing that we would definitely, I think, all agree on, especially we're seeing what's happening, these bombs, these ransomware bombs and everything else, these attacks, and not good. If somebody's not out there at least trying to claw through some of that, it becomes much more dangerous for all of us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you really want consumer privacy protected, but you also want somebody who is experienced in managing these cyber threats that are out there. People don't realize how much internet service providers are doing to protect their information from cyber threats even. It's mind-boggling how protected we can be through light touch regulatory schemes, because frankly, these threats, like the ransomware threats, they don't just affect the individual consumer, they affect the entire network. So it's in the best interest of these service providers to protect their own systems.
Yeah, boy, and no kidding. And, you know, you have to go back to when you talk about Title II, because there's confusion on Title II, and I think you cleared that up nicely at the top of this. But Title II of the Communications Act is the Communications Act of 1934.
That's right.
And so I think initially, I think that's why that kind of got buried. Because here's the thing, and you know, because you're paying attention to this kind of thing, obviously as a watchdog, but I think what happens is we're so bombarded by so much, a lot of people don't really understand what that means, and they don't take a closer look at it. They're just hearing some of what's being said out there, and they're very confused by that. And that's why the FCC is so important in this.
Right, right. And what a lot of people don't understand is that Title II classification does not equal an open internet.
Yeah.
The internet was open prior to the reclassification. What Title II does is puts heavy restrictions on internet service providers. FCC has already been receiving responses to the notice proposed rulemaking from small rural ISPs who are saying Title II is hindering our ability to raise money to invest in new infrastructure so we can serve our consumers who want access. So it's actually creating a barrier to people to get online. And overturning this classification and restoring it back to a Title I information service and removing these heavy burdens on Internet service providers. And a lot of this is reporting burdens. They have to report tons of information to the FCC.
Mm.
By removing these restrictions, it will free up their ability to invest in new infrastructure. And frankly, I grew up in a rural community. I understand how hard it is to get access. And if you're hindering the ability of these small rural providers to invest in infrastructure, these rural parts of our nation are going to continue to lag behind in Internet access.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so this FCC decision is going to have lasting implications on the Internet as we sum this all up, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why, as you're listening to us, it's so important to really understand what Deborah's saying, I think, and to understand what's going on here. And, of course, there's that the public comment section of it. Hasn't that exploded a little bit?
Yes, there's a lot of very bizarre things showing up on the public comments. Some things that are not repeatable. Chairman Pai actually did a YouTube video recently that where he was reading some of the comments that the FCC received, and they're a little bit off. The public comment period, though, is really important. If people think that the Internet is important to them, and they want to maintain it in an open manner, and they want to let the FCC know that, that's what the public comment period is for. And once the notice of proposed rulemaking is published in the Federal Register, that comment period will start. There will be a clock on it. Whether it's 30, 60, 90 days, I'm not sure. But there'll be a comment period where people can make comments to the FCC, letting the FCC know how they feel about the Internet, what they would like to see done with the Internet, what their views are on the NPRM. And then the FCC will take that information, review it, and try to incorporate the best practices into the final rules. And it's really key that people let their voices be heard. Like I said, the comments that have been out there are kind of strange. Citizens Against Government Waste provided comments. We try to be a little bit thoughtful on what we comment. You know, we do try to make thoughtful comments. But we, you know, the great thing about this particular chairman is that he opened up the transparency of this FCC is phenomenal because you now see before the FCC votes what they're voting on, which before this, you had no clue what was coming up. You didn't know what was going to be in the notice of proposed rulemaking. You just got hit with it, and then you reacted. Here, you've got a preview of what's coming, and then after it's published, you have further time to digest it and make really thoughtful comments and have something really formulative, and it's really empowering to the American people to have this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Deborah Collier, thanks so much for joining us, Director of Technology Telecommunications Policy for Citizens Against Government Waste. And thanks to all of you for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah.
All right.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.